There's a conversation that's going on and on and on and on. And we have to find a way to be people who bring God into our everyday conversation.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. Happy New Year. It's Sunday, January 5th, 2025. Pastor Jeff is speaking. The message is entitled, Prayer. He just wants to talk to you. And our text comes to us from 2 Chronicles 7:14 and Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the body of Christ. We thank you for the love and the friendship, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or even every 5 or 6 years, Lord. When we're part of your family, you keep us together. You keep us whole. You keep us focused on you. So we thank you that you're going to speak to us today, Lord. Guide us, Lord, as we seek your face, knowing you will answer. Lord, you speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we begin to look at these 21 days of prayer and fasting that we're going to be getting into. Now, some of you are really comfortable with sort of this thing. Some of you aren't that comfortable with this sort of thing. For some of you, this might be new. For some of you, you've never participated in your entire life in this idea of 21 days of prayer and fasting. For some of you, prayer is rub-a-dub-dub, God, thanks for the grub. For some of you, prayer is blessed food, amen, that's it. For some of you, it's a list. God, take care of this, take care of that, take care of this other thing, thanks, talk to you later. That is not what our prayer lives should be about. When I think of praying, when I think of God's people praying, I begin to imagine what God can do. And it leads my heart to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And it reads very simply like this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Well, if my people, who are God's people? Well, that's us. That's me. That's you. We are his people. We are called by his name. He calls us by name. Now, that doesn't mean in this crazy predestination thing that when God created everything, he said, you, and you are my people, the rest of you aren't. No, it's this idea that God has the foresight to see beyond what we can see, to see beyond the end of time, and to know the decisions we will make with our free will. When we are called God's people, it is not because God preordained that you would be part of his family. It's that God saw in the future, because God is outside of time, and said, I've called you by name. You are chosen because you've used the free will I've given you to choose me. And so, church, we choose God. We choose with our free will to follow him. This verse breaks down a couple of things that we need to understand as we begin to talk about prayer. The first is this. If my people will humble themselves. I've heard a lot of people say things like, well, I can't be humble. Humility is weakness. No, it takes a lot of strength to be humble. It takes a lot of courage to be humble. But most of you have already dealt with that. When we gave our life to Jesus, we had to humble ourselves and understand that we need a Savior. How many of us needed a Savior? Amen. I know I needed a Savior and I need him every day. We need a Savior, and to be able to get to that point, it does come from a place of humbleness. The text continues and says, pray, seek my face. And we're going to be focusing on prayer and seeking his face, and we'll get to more of that in a minute. But as the text continues, it says, seeking him, turning from our wicked ways. The text is very clear, church. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Pray, humble yourself, seek his face, turn from evil. Then he will hear you. Then he will forgive you. Then he will heal our land. As we begin 21 days of prayer, I want you to imagine a life. I want you to imagine a spiritually healthy life. I want you to imagine your spirit being touched and healed by the power of God. I want you to imagine your sins completely forgiven. Imagine all of your relationships healed, your family healed, your work situation, your finances, whatever it is that you're trying to handle, all falling into the hands of God and allowing the God of heaven to guide you through those things. How wonderful would that be? How wonderful could it be to say, I'm living a spiritually healthy life? Now imagine this. He will heal our land. Now, land here, it means country or tribe or society. Our society is sick. Our world is fallen and broken. Imagine our land healed. That's what God offers. That's what God is extending to us. We've seen so many horrible things. The list is so long. In the most recent history, what happened in New Orleans, what happened in Las Vegas, these are awful things being done by awful people for their own terrible, selfish gains. Whatever that is. We don't know the details. We know what they tell us. We don't know what's true. We don't know what's not true. The one thing we do know that is true is that is evil is running wild in our country. The evil is running wild in our land, and it's bold. It's out there in front of everything. It doesn't care. It's not afraid, but it should be, because God has promised to heal our land. But it starts with us. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And we have to be a praying church that is going to take these evil things and turn it and flip it and say, you know what, devil, what you meant for bad, God will use for good. What people are crying about and are afraid of and hurting, they've never seen your face, they've never sought his face, but now that they're in this situation, they will cry out to God, and God will make himself real in their lives, and he will heal our land. But we have to be people who seek this healing. We seek it because God tells us we can. We have to be a church that prays, not a church that says we pray, but a church that prays. And so often, churches and pastors and theologians, they do everything they can to teach people about Christianity. They teach you, doctrines and principles. And that's great. We all need to know who we are, what it means to be a Christian, all of that is wonderful. But sometimes we don't take the time to teach us how to work through the practices. And this isn't anything new that I'm going to be speaking on today. Today we're going to be going backwards and doing something we've done before, because sometimes we need to be reminded. We need to get back to fundamentals, right, Coach? It's all about the fundamentals. Some of you are trying to hit a home run. You don't even know how to swing a bat. Some of you are trying to throw a touchdown. You don't even know how to throw a ball, right? We have to get back to the fundamentals. It's the very core practice of what we do as Christians, and that's pray. How do you pray? We have to look at this very simple principle, this very simple practice of saying, I'm going to spend time with God, which is completely different than saying, God, this is what you are supposed to do. So many of us in our prayer life, unfortunately, we don't realize that as followers of Jesus, we try and impose our will on God instead of seeking God's will for our life. And I realize myself in my life, prayer at first can be difficult for some of the new people here who are going to begin to put this, look, let me put it this way. The idea of prayer, the idea of fasting, the idea of this being in communication with God is something that's been around since Genesis, right? And these practices of different kinds of prayer, silence and solitude, contemplative prayer, Lectio Divina, all of these different ways of praying the scriptures and trying to get close to God, all of that is really, really wonderful. But for some people, trying to step into that, well, the truth is it's just weird. It's difficult. It can be hard. I remember when we did Peace of the Heart many years ago, I gave everybody the idea of going home and praying through certain scripture as family, repeating it, meditating on it. And some of the feedback I got was people like, hey, man, so we sat down and we each read it, and then we just sat there kind of like, what do we do now? Right? Because we've been using prayer like a script. We've been using prayer as a way to just tell God what we want. We talk. We say, God, do this, do that. And then we say, okay, conversation over, and we walk away. That's not going to cut it, because that's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about so much more than just telling God what to do or asking God to fix things. See, we're looking today at what we call Old Testament principles that are New Testament expectations. You'll go to churches, you maybe even go to study theology, you go to seminary, you talk with theologians, you start listening to all these lectures and sermons online and stuff like that. And I don't mean to be insulting to some of these great theologians that are out there, but they're not that smart. They say things like, well, you know, as I look at the New Testament, now that Jesus is here, I don't need the Old Testament anymore. The second one doesn't mean anything without the first one. It's part two. It's incomplete without part one. They say things like, well, you don't have to go to church. Well, maybe in the Old Testament, up until Moses was ordered to build the tabernacle, you could say that. But from that point forward, it's an expected thing that we go to the house of God to worship him. Not that he's not with us all the time, but we come together to worship him. Now, look, I challenge all of you in your workplace to stand up on your break and turn on your Christian music and begin a worship service right there. Open your Bible, read John 3:16 to everybody around you. Unfortunately, the society we live in today that needs to be healed, you'll be on your way to HR for being hateful by trying to love on people. But because that's what the world is, fallen and broken, God gives us this idea of the tabernacle, his house, a place where we can come and be together and seek him and trust him and lean on one another. It's the same thing with prayer. Some people are like, well, you know, you don't have to pray. You know, I mean, God already knows what I'm going to say, so why do I even need to say it? Well, the truth is you need to say it because it's good for you. We don't pray because God needs to hear your voice today. Right? I don't know. Some of you have been married a long time. Some of you might be in new relationships. It's like, I don't want to hang up. You hang up. No, I just love the sound of your voice. And you know. And some of you are like, already. I heard you the first time. Right? There's a conversation that's going on and on and on and on. And we have to find a way to be people who bring God into our everyday conversation. You know, for someone to say you don't need to go to church because the New Testament doesn't say that, I'd point out 1 John and I'd point out Hebrews, where it says don't neglect getting together. And the purpose of that is to encourage one another. You see, we come together to encourage one another. We come together to worship God together. We come together to step away from the world and to be united as people of God. But it's not enough. We have to be praying people. See, there's an assumption that Jesus is going to lay out for us. And he assumes that you're going to be praying. He assumes that you're going to be fasting. Now, he's speaking to a first century Jewish culture where everybody prays and everybody fasts. And you might say, well, not everybody prays. You should. And if you don't pray, you need to begin to pray. If you don't have a prayer life that you see as something solid, it is time. Today is the day. Because nowhere in the words of Jesus, because that's where we're going to be today, nowhere in the words of Jesus does it say, thou shalt pray. But there's an assumption that you will. Nowhere does Jesus say, thou shalt fast. But there's an assumption that you will. For some people, beginning a prayer life or even just trying to take your prayer life to the next level, it can seem odd. It can seem weird. It can seem like you're just sitting in a corner talking to yourself. Or if you're watching other people pray, like they're just sitting in a corner talking to themselves. Unless you really connect with God. Now, how many of you get frustrated when your phone won't connect? And you get furious and you start to restart the thing, and then you grab your computer and you look up online, is AT&T service down right now? What in the world's going on? I can't connect. Why can't I connect? And then it reboots, and then you connect, and then you're happy. That's how it should be with God. If you're not connected with God, you should be going through that craziness. Now, we're going to be looking at prayer, and we're going to be looking at the goal of prayer. We're going to be looking at the outline that Jesus himself gives us to learn to pray. It's not a script, folks. We don't go to God with a script. Yeah, I mean, think about it. For those of you who are married, on your first date, did you take a script and lay it down in front of your date and say, this is what we're going to talk about today. This is how I'm going to get to know you. Nope, nope, nope. You can't veer from the script. You got to stay on the script. You got to stay on the script. No, that wouldn't work. Because that's not how people get to know each other. Also, a script is something that's given to an actor. If you want to act like a Christian, you can read a script. Knock yourself out. But if you want to be a Christian, you need to learn to pray. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about all those books out there. Pray in power. Pray this way. Name it and claim it. If you just pray like this, you'll get everything you want. Because what I'm not going to do today is teach you how to pray and open up the treasures from heaven that fall down. I'm not going to teach you how to pray so that money falls from the sky. I'm not going to teach you how to pray so that when tomorrow morning when you wake up and you go into your garage or to your driveway, your Toyota is now a Mercedes-Benz, right? I'm not going to teach you how to do that. And there's two reasons why. One, I don't know how. I don't know how to pray like that. Some people will say, well, I know a pastor who does. And if you just buy his book for $35, you too can learn how to get money from heaven. And in that book, you learn how to cheat people out of $35. And then they start sending you money, right? Pray in power. Let's just pray trusting the one who has the power, okay? That's what we're going to do, okay? Treasures that we seek, the true treasure that we seek is peace. You're going to have chaos in your life. Anybody here without chaos? Because if you are, I'd love to know what you're doing. Come teach me something, because chaos is part of life, but God's peace is bigger than all the chaos that life can throw at us. But you have to have that in your mind, right? Now, what we need to understand is that prayer is not a doctrine of power. It's not a doctrine of strength. It's not a doctrine that builds us up and makes us the ultimate power to be reckoned with on earth. Now, don't get me wrong. If we're prayer warriors, when God calls us home, yeah, the devil's going to be glad we're off the battlefield, sure. But prayer is a doctrine and a practice of surrender. Surrendering to the one who is going to lead us the way we need to go. It's a practice of surrender. It's all about surrender. It's about surrendering to the God of heaven who will take us on a journey. But it's the journey he wants us to go on. And that journey will be powerful because it's designed by the one who made us in the first place, who knows exactly what we need. We get it all right here. And then in prayer, we get to listen to God explain to us. Look, I did a really quick search. I used this website called Everand. It's an app. It's like Netflix, but for books. Right? And I did a simple search, and I did this yesterday, and I just typed in the word prayer. 593,297 ebooks came up. Over 500,000 just ebooks. That doesn't count the audiobooks, the articles, the journals, and other books that aren't available digitally. That's a lot of books on prayer. We really only need one. Now, don't get me wrong. I've read a lot of great things out of these books. That people who have, God has revealed things to them, and they've written them down, and I've been able to grasp those things and implement them in my life, and it's led me to this understanding of the goal of prayer. The goal of your prayer life is not to ask God for things. It really isn't. There is a time to do that. But we have to rethink the goal of our prayer life. Too many think that prayer is nothing more than God on demand. God flicks, God stream, God do what I want you to do. And the problem with that is Jesus teaches us to say, thy will be done, not mine. Jesus teaches us that it's not about Jehovah Geico. Because all you do, a lot of people, and nobody in this church, obviously, people outside of this church, but in your prayer lives, you treat God like your insurance agent. He's not Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. He's Jehovah Geico. He's the one you call when you're in trouble. He's the one you call when you're in an accident. He's the one you call when you need something. How many of you have purchased insurance at some moment in your life? And after you've written that check, how many of you have called every day, every week, or once a month to talk to your insurance agent? Yeah, that's what I thought. You only call when there's trouble. I want you to think of your loved ones. I want you to think of those people who reach out to you constantly and how much you enjoy talking to them and being in community with them and learning about their lives and knowing what's going on and be able to invest back into them. And what ends up happening is that's not how our prayer lives are. Our prayer lives is, I was on an accident and I need you to send a tow truck. Fix it. Where's my check? Here's my deductible. Where's my check? I got to get it fixed. We cannot treat God like that. God is not a streaming service for us to be manipulating him to do what we want, right? Our prayers can't be mechanical. It can't be this list of things we just step through and say we're done. That's religion, and religion is not going to help you. This is relationship. Prayer is not about asking. Prayer is about a personal relationship with Jesus. Prayer is about praying in a way to God on a personal level, without reducing it to some step-by-step way of communicating with God. Prayer is where we can still our minds and our thoughts, where we can check our emotions and focus on God, but in an unhurried way. Too often, we're just trying to get through things. Lord, thank you for this day. Amen. Lord, be with my people. Amen. We're talking at him. Prayer is about talking with him. Now, if you just talk at him and then walk away, when are you going to hear what he has to say? Right? Prayer is seeking God. We get to be with him. We get to be in his presence when we seek the Lord. And where else do you want to be? What can be more important to you than being in the stillness of prayer and in the presence of God? If you don't listen, if every time you have a conversation with someone, you talk, and then you walk away, they never get a chance to respond. And if your prayer life is you talk, and then it's over, when is God going to speak to you? When are you going to be aware that God is truly with you? When are you going to be aware that God is trying to nudge you, guide you, direct you, or even challenge you? Prayer is part of our purification process. Should be reflective, expansive, allowing us to set aside what we think should happen and receive God's help. Receive his thoughts, find out how he feels about it, and let him manage our situations. Our prayer life should lead us to a life of wanting God, not for God to do things for us, but wanting God to just be with God. It's very different than wanting God to just help me or fix something, isn't it? If you just want somebody to help you and fix something, your car's broken, you go to a mechanic. And you say, fix it. And you give them some money and you walk away and your car's fixed. How's that relationship with your mechanic going? Is it intimate? Is it deep? Is it emotional? I doubt it. But if you're treating God and your prayer life in that same way, we're going to be in trouble. Because the true goal of prayer is to be with God. Now, we're gonna have to ask ourselves, well, how do I do that? How do I begin to pray in this way? How do I begin to pray where God's going to be present in my life? You know, well, obviously, first you got to slow down, but Jesus is so awesome. He teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives us what we all know. We know it, the Lord's Prayer. And he gives us, now, it's not a script, but it is definitely a guide. And it's something so many of us know, right? But Jesus is making an assumption that we're going to pray because he starts it like this. And when you pray, Jesus makes an assumption about you. He assumes you're going to be a praying person. Now, if I were to tell you, thou shalt eat lunch, that's kind of silly. I can assume most of you at some point today are going to eat lunch or something that you would call lunch. Maybe it's supper. Maybe it's a little later. I don't know, right? But when you drive, right? It's not thou shalt drive. It's not thou shalt eat. It's and when you. Because there's an assumption in our society, as human beings, we need to put gas in the car. We also need to put gas in the car, right? And sometimes we got to eat. And that's how we do that. Jesus is kind of hanging on that same exact things. Jesus assumes you're going to be praying. You should be praying. So in chapter 6 of Matthew, it says this, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. There's a beautiful theme through the Lord's Prayer. And quite frankly, the same theme is through the entire Sermon on the Mount. And it's this theme that carries through, and the theme is very simple. Don't be like the Pharisees. Don't be holier than thou. Don't think you're greater than everybody else. Don't do it for show. Right? And don't be like the pagans. Blah, 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 making all this noise, making all these words, putting on another show for themselves. Because all they're doing, it's not prayer, right? But and don't be like the Pharisees and don't be like the pagans, not just in your prayer life, but in all things. Because what they're doing is not glorifying God. What they're doing is trying to look good in their culture, trying to be cool, trying to be relevant, trying to be ahead of things. Don't do that. They're doing that to gain something for themselves. Your prayer life there will be a byproduct of your prayer life where you will grow into so much. And God will bless you. And everything you want and everything you need, let me flip that. Everything you need and then some will be there when you're seeking the will of God. Oh, but Pastor, can I ask for things in my prayer? Of course you can. But when you're seeking God's will, I guarantee you God is already going to give it to you before you even know you need it. Because God knows what you need. Well, then why should I pray if God already knows? Because it's good for you. God knows what you're going to say before you say it. Why do I say it? Because it's good for you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I'm limited. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. Lord, I need the peace that comes from grace, that comes from your cross. Sometimes we try and stand on our own and make our way through things. And we get lost in these ideas of what it's like to pray. And so we just go to God and say, God, do this. But the truth is that when we pray, we don't have to sound pretty. You're not trying to do something cool. You're not trying to do something awesome. You're not trying to do something that everybody's going to be like, wow, I want to be like that guy. You're attempting to do something that's expected of you. And so it may seem a little weird. You know, I remember we were watching an old video from here in the church long, long time ago. And the church was full. We still had the old benches. And there was a moment of prayer, just like we do. And man, Pastor, you prayed for like 14 minutes. And it was like God was just moving. And I've heard other people pray who can pray and pray and pray, and it just sounds so amazing. You can tell it's people who have been in a practice of prayer for a very, very long time. And so what happens is, as you begin to pray yourself, you think, I'm supposed to sound like that. You don't have to sound like that. God wants you to be sincere. First point, pray sincerely. Don't make it up. Don't babble. Don't go on and on because you think it needs to be long or else God's not going to hear you. Somebody just a couple of weeks ago wrote to me, hey, will you pray for me? Because the way you pray, I know God hears you. And I said, well, you pray. God hears you too. No, because I can't pray the way you can pray. Yes, you can. Because I pray the way I pray, you're going to pray the way you pray. And the way you pray is how God wants to hear from you. God doesn't want to hear from me about you. God wants to hear from you. Pray sincerely. You know, so many people would get afraid. There are people in this church right now who, if I called them up to pray right now to end the service, they'd leave the church. Don't you dare have me come up. Don't you dare. No, I'm out. And they'd just be gone. Don't be afraid. Pray. Talk to God. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. You know, the longer the prayer, it doesn't mean it's more powerful. The greater your theological vocabulary is, does not make your prayer more powerful. Whether you know the difference between principles and doctrines and theologies and this and that and the other, none of that matters. God just wants to talk to you. God just wants to hear from you. Prayer is about a personal relationship with Jesus. You have to pray sincerely. You have to be honest with yourself. We've treated prayer as something that gets us something, but stop it. Prayer is just about being with my Lord. I realize that praying is just being with God. Our prayer life should work in a way that we get so accustomed to being with, talking to, and wait, and hearing from God, that if a day goes by that we don't spend in prayer, we just melt. Like something's off today. Something's wrong today. What's missing today? What didn't I do today? Something's not right today. What is it? Lord, what is it? And he's, I haven't heard from you today. Oh, you're right. I need you. You know, I think of some of the people who've come and gone in our lives for whatever the reason. Some of them the Lord has called home. And I think of Brian. And I think of Brian, and I think of moments when things would pop up on my phone. I'd be like, I got to share this with Brian. And I went to share it with Brian, and I said, Brian's not here anymore. I don't get to talk to him anymore. And I break, right? I'm not trying to belittle anybody's loss. Some of you had spouses for decades and decades and decades, and they're gone. And you can't just walk down the room and say, honey, they're not there anymore. But God is, right? And I'm not trying to belittle what we go through. I'm not, because I'm going through it too. But our prayer life should be so consistent, so constant, that we are always in conversation with God, that if that conversation doesn't happen, we just melt. We're addicted to so many things. Coffee, television, whatever. Are we addicted to God? Man, what the only addiction we should be chasing is to want to be closer to God. The people in your lives who have gone ahead of us, who we don't get to talk to anymore. The people who are in your life, who aren't in your life, who you don't get to talk to anymore. Maybe they moved away. Maybe they've moved out of state. Maybe you had a falling out. Whatever it is, that feeling of loneliness, that feeling of missing them. All of those things combined shouldn't compare to what it's like when we miss out on being in conversation with God. Being in conversation with God is what we want to do. We can spend as much time with God as possible every day. I think sometimes when we teach on prayer in the church, we pray in such a way that if you pray this way, you'll get something. If you pray that way, you'll get something. If you just believe enough, you'll get something. But brothers, that is not what prayer is about. We have to keep praying. Have a conversation. Have a conversation with God, not for the world to see you do it, but for you to experience being with him. Let me read just a little bit more. And this is how you should pray. Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's how you're supposed to pray. You know, but sometimes we turn this into a script. And remember what I said, scripts are written for actors. And we're not going to act like Christians. We're going to be Christians. The Academy Award goes to somebody who's faking it. We have the award of grace in our life that we receive. And because of that grace, we're in constant conversation with God. It's important for us to know what we're actually saying when we do this. Our Father, you're the most awesome thing ever. I hope, I pray, I trust that everything you want to happen is going to take place. See that? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I trust your will. For me, Lord, if you could just give me the food I need today, anything else I'll consider a blessing. Take care of my basic needs, Lord. Lord, forgive me because I'm messed up. Forgive me, Lord. I know I need to forgive others, and I will. I'll forgive everybody around me, but just help me. I'm broken. Could you help me not fall into that stuff today? It's been a perfect day so far. But then you have to get out of bed, and what's going to happen? Right? We start our day with this, asking God to help us not fall into those things, knowing that he can just deliver us from the evil one. You got to talk to God. And you know, it doesn't have to sound pretty. It really doesn't. So many people think that when you pray, you have to pray in a certain way. Oh, God in heaven above, we come before thee with gratefulness in thy heart for all thine blessing that you have. Just talk to him. He wants to hear you. Whatever your vocabulary. What up, God? What up, G-O-D? It's me, yo. He doesn't care. He just wants to talk to you. You've got to begin the conversation. Behold, he stands at the door and he knocks. Open the door and say hello. Hola, ciao, buongiorno. He speaks all languages. He speaks Hood, Ebonics. He speaks Cholo. He speaks White Boy. It doesn't matter. Just talk to God. Church, we're going to begin 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it starts tomorrow. And you need to start off with this understanding that as you pray, you need to pray sincerely. And you need to pray succinctly. That means short. Get to the point. Tell God what you need. And don't stop. Don't stop praying there. Continue the prayer by listening. It's an ongoing conversation. Think of any conversation you've ever had. You talk a little, they talk a little. They talk a little, you listen. You talk a little, they listen. If the conversations you have is gimme, 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 okay, bye. Those people, you're not going to want them to call you. You're not going to want to talk to them. You're not going to want to spend any time with those people. So get to the point and let God begin to speak to you. Pray sincerely, not to get something, but to learn something from God. Pray succinctly, not to impress others, but to surrender to God. And then finally, you need to pray sacrificially. Fasting is also another one of those things that a lot of people try and do at the beginning of the year. Just drive by a gym. If you go to the gym during the month of December, there's plenty of parking. And in January, it's packed because everybody's made a New Year's resolution to get fit. By February 1, the parking lot is empty again. Okay? You're not making a decision to just do this new thing. You're making a lifestyle choice. And fasting is something that helps us break away from the comfort of our lives. We sacrifice something that is either comfortable or maybe even bad for us so that we can spend time with God. What God wants to do is God wants us to break free from these bondages of our life and the comforts of our life so that we can live in freedom, not in bondage. We can sacrifice things to spend time in prayer. We fast so we can find freedom. Now, fasting without prayer is just dieting, and I know we just got through the holidays and we all need to diet, so don't fake it. I'm going to challenge you today. I'm going to challenge you to fast something different today. I'm going to challenge you to fast instead of food or water. I'm going to challenge you to fast your anger. I'm going to challenge you to fast your hate. I'm going to challenge you to fast the grudge you're holding against someone. I'm going to challenge you to pray daily at a set time. I'm going to challenge you that every moment you remember who hurt you, that instead of dropping into that place of anger and hurt and pain, you say, Lord, I give you this anger. I give you this hurt. I give you this pain. I don't want it. I just want to spend time with you. You know, it's really sad because for so many people, the hurt and the pain, the anger, the grudge, it's the cage that you live in that you made for yourself, and it's comfortable. Some of you don't know how to live without the anger. Some of you don't know how to live without the hate. Some of you have been warming yourself by the fire of your anger and your hate for so long that if you're afraid if you were to actually truly forgive those people, you'd be cold and you wouldn't know what to do. But instead of living in that spirit of anger, fast it, surrender it to God, and let God take it from you. You need to pray sincerely because God is hearing you. And you need to do it from the heart. You need to pray succinctly. You need to get to it. God wants to hear you. God knows what you're going to say, but he's got to hear it from you, and it's good for you to say it. And you need to pray sacrificially. Over the next 3 weeks, Pastor is going to be talking about more on prayer and fasting and disciplines of prayer. And I'm available and we can talk about these things in separate occasions. But you need to sacrifice something in prayer and fasting. And vegetables don't count. Okay? Unless you love vegetables so much that you can't live without them, then okay, maybe. But God can heal that too. Every time we do prayer and fasting, somebody always comes to me and tells me, Pastor, I'm overcoming addiction through this time of prayer and fasting. Do not let the medical industry steal the word fasting. They've been trying and trying and trying. You need to be fasting before your blood work. Oh, so I should be praying? No, just don't eat. Don't fall for that. Fasting is about spending time with God, about giving up something of comfort. And for some of us, our anger and our hate, it's a comfortable place. And only you know that. That's between you and God. The Holy Spirit's going to be working in you. In Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit's going to be working in you. So that you can remove from your life your anger, your hurt, and your pain by putting it on the altar and saying, God, I've been too comfortable in this. I need to be comfortable with you. Oh, what a beautiful place that will be. So there's a few things that we're going to be doing. I want all of you to begin to think right now and make a commitment in your heart and make a commitment to the Lord right now. I'd love it if you could do it before you walk out today. I know we've gone a little over. Tough, right? It is what it is. I know we've gone over, but you need to come up with a time of day that you will pray. The clipboard's gone around already, and some of you have put your initials on there, and you say, I'm going to fast on this day. I'm going to fast on this day. I'm going to fast on this day. Great. Don't walk away from that. Don't leave us hanging. We're doing this in unity. But what what you need to do is you need to find a set time every day that you're going to pray. You need to start thinking about that. Young families, you can pray together. Have two different times of prayer per day. But spend time in prayer. Be intentional about it. Think about it. You're thinking of your week right now. I get up at this time. I leave the house at that time. Maybe your commute. Maybe you might decide right now, every morning, instead of listening to some silly radio show where they're calling people and doing crank calls or something like that, you can actually spend time with God. Instead of at night streaming and binge watching stuff, you can say, at this time, I'm going to spend time with God. Be intentional. He's waiting to hear from you. I want you to start thinking about what it is in your life you need to sacrifice. You're going to have a set time of prayer, and you're going to make a decision, hopefully before you walk out of the back door. I will begin to fast these things. And it can be multiple things. There can be a day that you fast food. There can be, not eat fast food, but there can be a day that you fast food. It could be a lunch. It could be a breakfast. It could be an all-day thing. There could be a day that you fast. Maybe there's only one day a week that you're going to fast food, but the rest of the week, every time that anger comes up, it's an opportunity for you to fast. Every time that hurt boils up, it's an opportunity for you to take that out of you, give it to God, and sacrifice it on His altar so that it doesn't hold us back anymore. What a beautiful thing it would be to be standing in the presence of God, to tell Him how grateful you are, and for Him to speak life into you. But church, we have to be disciplined. We can't be a church that just says we pray. We have to be a praying church. As you pray through these 21 days, ask God. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you through it, to keep you disciplined. Ask the Holy Spirit through your practice of prayer to use you to reach others so that they too can know Him. And ask God to show you what His will is for your life. As we shift now into communion, let's pray. Lord, we thank You because it's so clear to us, Father, that You teach us that what we need is to be close to You. That what we lack isn't things, but time in Your presence. What we need is time with You. Lord, help us to seek You. You've never failed us, Lord. We failed You so often. You've given us a love that we don't deserve. You've given us a grace that we could not earn. Help us to be grateful people who seek You and seek Your will. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. And we give You all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus Messiah, a name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin.
wonderful. Well, this is the first Sunday of 2025. And may the Lord help us and give us a year full of His glory and His presence. And may God grant the desires of your heart. May God speak to you. May God encourage you. May you be a Christian of victory, a Christian who looks at the battles in life and places the Lord before. So we got 364 more days to go. No, a lot more than that. But anyway, I should not go to math. I better stay away from math. All I can tell you is that not only this day, but every day the Lord has made. So let's say it together. This is the day
the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.